So who are we talking to?
My name is Dessa from Doomtree.
Right on. What are you doing here tonight in Denver?
We are playing as members of our collective Doomtree all here. We've got four MCs, me, Dessa, Sims, and C. Slaughter.
Mike McLaughlin,
wow.
I'm here double time.
And DJ Paper Tiger and
Blazer B. Nice. How long have you been on tour?
We've been out for about, I'd say, 17, 18 days now.
Is it treating you well?
Yeah, it's been really good. And I think all of us in getting here have been really excited to hit Denver again. Sims, who's probably got the most miles of any of us. So
really?
That's one of his favorite, yeah.
One of your favorite spots here?
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Super kind reception, super generous welcome. There was some guy driving without his lights, and it was like the single most polite intervention by a pedestrian. He was like, "Excuse me, Mr. Motorist, I can't help but notice," which is not the standard.
Yeah, it's not a big city right there at all, really. Yeah, what's it like in Minneapolis?
It's cool. I mean, we've got a really healthy hip hop scene, and I think we're known for being friendly, but I don't know that we are legitimately that friendly.
Yeah, it's the Midwest, so it's kind of on sketchy ground.
On the passive aggressive friendly tip, yeah.
It's the paper plants.
The paper plants.
All the industry. So you teach music, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
Let's see. Honest answer, I think it's a challenge. I think for me, even like receiving criticism from artists I trust takes some effort to do so with an open mind. You know, a lot of music is trying to build up your ego to defend it against all the haters and the criticism and the self-doubt that you're likely to encounter. So I think a big part of trying to teach or learn music effectively is to learn how, at least for the space of a couple hours, to turn off those defense mechanisms.
A lot less ego?
Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to hate on it, because those are there for a reason. You know, the whole world says you can't, mostly, in music. So naturally, you develop like an overcompensation to say, I can. But that can sometimes inhibit learning, I think.
Do you think that might have something to do with battle rap?
Yeah, I think just artists too, though, because I don't primarily teach hip hop now. I teach songwriting,
awesome.
And I've learned songwriting, you know. So I think that I see in others and I feel in myself some of that defensiveness, at least on first blush, when it comes to even constructive criticism.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do as a human being, take criticism.
Word. And particularly, you know, about something which you so passionately want to excel at. And like I said, that you've been telling yourself you can do in an effort to combat all the voices that say that you can't.
When you guys really put yourselves out there, I mean, a lot of your music is really like, it's really heartfelt, I think, you know, and I think that's a big part of the new direction that hip-hop is taking. Who else are we sitting here with?
Mike McLaughlin.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty excellent, man.
Good.
Excellent. Glad to be in Denver?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. More than ever.
Colo Rojo?
Yeah.
See.
More than ever.
Nice. Hell yeah. What was recording this album you just dropped like with Laserbeak?
Oh, that was a long process. We worked a long time on it and went through a lot of tracks and scrapped a lot of stuff and redid it a few times. It was a huge process. It's not going to take as long as it did the next time, for sure. It'll be real quick. I think the main thing I liked about it is that we both had 50-50 input on everything.
Really?
You know, from beats to rhymes and shit. Yeah, I mean, we'd go back. We'd, you know, trade notes constantly. Be like, you like this. I mean, like, the premiere track on the record is co-written by Laserbeak. So.
Which one is that?
Prize Fight?
Which one?
It's actually Prize Fight, yeah, it's the last one. He actually wrote most of the end parts, the outros and stuff, like the whole basis. He wrote that for Plastic Constellations record, for a song called Phoenix and the Fall Line.
It's a punk group, right? Is that right?
Yeah, you can say punk.
You can say punk. I mean, people call you guys hip-hop.
All-inclusive rock.
Yeah,
that's what, or just legendary. That's what they like. That's what Beak prefers.
I like that.
Also, Hand Over Fist comes from that song too. He says, "We'll take a hand over fist till we feel like landing, from a pigeon to a phoenix to a dove to my six." The whole thing, like, it's from his brain. Because when he sent me the beat, he also was writing that at the same time. So
it's a pretty damn hot album. Did you get the sound you wanted? Is it all? Are you really happy with it?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic about it. I still am. I think it's we trust a lot in that record. me and Beak think it's the best record ever. But all that shit aside, like, I know what I'm going to do for the next one. I'll just say that.
Is this for broadcast?
It will
Should
be.
Should we mind our language?
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. This okay. We're pirate radio.
Fuck, fuck no. Okay.
We're underground. Yeah. We're running from the law.
Beautiful.
Too, so yeah. You can say whatever the fuck you want. And actually,
you can't say beautiful.
It's something we like to ask a lot of people. Because we are a pirate station, our entire library, I would say 99% of it, is pirated music. We can't afford it any other way. We're listener funded. Right. What do you guys feel about pirated music? Does it hurt you guys more than it helps you? Do you love us? Do you hate us? Mm-hmm. Some people say we should die. I don't know.
I'll let her give you a quick, informed reply, and then I'll tell you what
then,
I think about it.
And then
I'll
tell it how it really is. Thanks a lot, Mike. She gets 35 seconds.
We're gonna have, I'm just going to say, I both want us to say something, because I know we're going to say something different, but exactly the same, too.
I'm not sure if it helps or hurt us. That said, I come from, like, my dad is, like, on some Atticus Fitch like morality stuff, so it's not something that I mess with, but that's more from like an antiquated sense of right and wrong than it is for probably any business savvy. I think probably as underground artists ourselves, we've been helped by more people who hear our music. And then my personal suspicion is that in the pie chart of how musicians get their revenue, a smaller and smaller slice of the pie will be from recorded music to begin with. That just kind of builds your brand, and then people pay you for either other goods or services, like t-shirts or glow-in-the-dark bandanas.
Or the Marquee Theater tonight here in Denver.
www.doomtree.net or for live shows, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it probably helps us.
I feel like what hurts more than that, the whole music industry, is people giving away music for free. I think a lot of rappers do mixtapes for free, and it kind of devalues tracks. You have 30 tracks of like guy just going crazy, and he's not selling any of it. And at the same time, I'm not going to go against the grain. And also, I truly believe that like music, with the way that things are going, is just going to be promotional anyways. Just try to get people to shows. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I make a lot more money on shows than I do records.
You guys dig the live stuff versus studio way more?
Oh, as like an experience? Like, do we like performing more than recording?
Yeah.
What do you think? You
absolutely
like performing more than recording?
I think that's, to me, that's what Doomtree is. You know, it's we have a, you know, we've crafted our own signature sound and everything. But the live experience is what has really, really made us. It's really like brought our friends, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think so. I think it's definitely like the biggest tool, like the biggest magnet to Doomtree. Right. At the same time, I think like we're such a varied cast of performers too, you know, even just like the five MCs. I think we all have a really different set of like strengths and weaknesses. But I think my favorite part of like the whole artistic process is probably neither. I feel like I get ideas that I am convinced are like brilliant. They're just absolutely, and then I ruin them by making them into music. Like in my head, everything sounds perfect, and it's that struggle of like, do I want to let this song remain unmade and perfect,
yeah.
or sully it by recording it?
That's actually like something that's really prevalent across the board with humanity.
Yeah, I know. You know? It's a drag, right?
Yeah, it is, though. You know,
a nation state. That sounds excellent.
We're totally making that a clip, right? So let me see. I got a bunch of stuff here. It's going to be pick and choosing. All right, I got a couple of questions I want to ask each of you guys, but I'm going to start off with you. This is a funny one. Mm-hmm. How long did you actually live next door to these guys?
Before I realized that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even sure how long I had lived next door to them. Probably less than a year, but I had been working with another band, and, you know, one of the MCs had given me a disc, and I said, man, this one I really like. Are these guys? And I thought they were initially from Seattle. And he was like, actually, they live next door. So that sounds like we are getting...
Oh, that's the bass kicking in. All right.
Yeah.